This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. How much do you pay for your high-speed internet at home? 40, 50 bucks a month? And what sort of speed do you get for your money? Well, we took a poll on our website, and 400 Sci-Fi listeners told us what they're doing online. We found that the median price that they pay is $54 a month. And the median speed, that's downloads at 16 megabits per second, much slower, 4 megabits per second uploading. Now, compare that to Hong Kong, Paris, Seoul, or Tokyo, where you can get 1,000 megabits per second, both download and upload, for less than 40 bucks a month. Why aren't we enjoying the same speed for our money? What's holding us back? My next guest has a few ideas on how to change that. Susan Crawford is the author of Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. She's also co-author of The Responsive City and visiting professor at Harvard Law School. And if you want to respond to our internet speed survey or view the results that are there mapped out, go to sciencefriday.com/internetspeed. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, Ira. Hello.
You know, I'm noticing that this is such a hot topic that this was in the Colorado ballot on Tuesday, and the communities, seven communities and cities, passed a resolution that they wanted to be allowed to provide internet speed on their internet service on their own.
Yeah, that's right. Just as electrification was the big policy issue on the ballot back in the 30s, today high-speed internet access is key. It's crucial. It's utility. And a bunch of towns all across America are fighting for the right to make the choice themselves whether to have very high-speed internet access that's provided or organized by the city. So there's Colorado in a very bipartisan result, very conservative cities, very liberal cities, all trying to get that local choice to make sure that their residents have high-speed internet access at a cheap price.
Now, you said they're fighting for the right. Why? Why do they have to fight for that right?
Well, in 20 states in the United States, it's either impossible or very difficult for cities to make this decision on their own. States have passed a bunch of laws that constrain what the municipality can do. So that's happened in Colorado, and cities are fighting back. It really is a fight. It's a tussle at the state house and on the local level.
You know, last week, the Open Technology Institute released a report called The Cost of Connectivity. And it was surprising to see that cities like Chattanooga and Kansas City have the fastest, cheapest internet. Little towns, comparatively speaking.
That's right. None of our global cities, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, D.C., Chicago, none of them lead the world for speed. Instead, it's cities where the mayor and the town have decided to either use their electrical utility, which is what Chattanooga did, and put fiber on top of it, or to build an altogether new fiber network, which is what Lafayette, Louisiana did. These are remarkable success stories, and all those mayors are now joining together in a group called Next Century Cities to push for fiber around the country.
How did we get here? How did we get to that we have to have a referendum to allow us to do something for ourselves?
It is astounding. We should be looking the rest of the world in the rearview mirror, but we're not. You know, it's because of policy. It's not magic. 10 years ago, we deregulated this entire sector, and we decided that competition would protect Americans and neither oversight nor any other kind of rule was needed. Well, fast forward, everybody's divided up markets. So for about 80% of Americans, their only choice for a high-capacity internet connection is their local cable monopoly. And a lot of Americans are left out, and we're all paying much more than we should be for speeds and capacity that are much less than the global standard.
Mm-hmm. A lot of cities with gigabit internet access have the same speeds up and down. Why is it not symmetrical for our standard cable services?
Well, cable just wasn't built that way. It was built to purvey television. So That's a passive activity. You're just downloading. They could re-architect the entire system to make it symmetrical up and down, but that would cost money. And these guys are not expanding their networks. They're done. They're just harvesting.
Our number, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Okay, so let's say that you're within the sound of my voice and you're a mayor or some city council person and you would like to, you know, decide for yourself. What do you have to do to break through that monopoly?
Well, you've got to have real leadership. Let's hope there's a mayor who takes this issue seriously and is willing to take on what's going to be a real political tussle with companies like Comcast and AT&T and Verizon, who will throw all kinds of resources at making it impossible for him to do it. And then he's got to have citizen support. You know, he's going to be tearing up the street, putting in fiber. Cities in Europe and Asia did this decades ago, and we're quite far behind. The mayor's going to need political air cover and a real sense of mission to get this done.
Mm-hmm. Some of your critics have pointed out in the past that, well, America does have really fast wireless high-speed internet over cell networks.
Well, you know, it's apples and oranges. Well, in Europe, they are getting wireless access with very high data caps. Here, that's not the case. If you tried to substitute out your wired connection for a wireless connection and just get rid of the wire, you'd end up paying $500, $700 a month. We have very low data caps, very low capacity wireless connections. So it's really not a substitute for what's possible over a wire.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of dark fiber in many cities? I know an engineer who used to work here in New York, and he said, told me many years ago, you know, there's a lot of dark cable, meaning that stuff that's already in the ground but not being used. We could take load of some of that.
Yeah, a lot of cities are talking about trying to understand what their assets are. Often they're captured by local incumbent providers, but understand what fiber they have in the ground and whether they could turn some of it into use for businesses and homes in their area. So Santa Monica has managed to very deliberately roll out fiber connecting all of their businesses, and their prices are really low, and now they're going to go out to residences too. But that took a lot of planning and a real determination by the CIO there in Santa Monica.
You know, one would think that this is actually in the interest of businesses to have all that fiber, because then they could create little data hubs and bring IT people in, and you would create more jobs, and this would be better than having a monopoly.
You'd think, but there are four or five very powerful companies who don't see it that way. And their political sway is such that they make it difficult for the other argument to even be made. So I've given up on the federal level at this point, but cities are able to see the effect on their citizens and can use their local businesses to gather political air cover and make that argument.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Brett in Michigan. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there. This is Brett. I think the cost of internet for the United States is really based on infrastructure. Our country is so huge compared to all these smaller companies like South Korea and Japan, where they have much smaller infrastructure they got to work on and whatnot.
Are you happy with your internet service, Brett?
I could be happier if it was gigabit, but it gets the job done.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling. What about that?
Well, take a look at Sweden, which is just as thinly populated as the big expanses of the United States. Density is about the same. But there you have hundreds of small towns that have put in fiber. It turns out the economics really work. As long as there's somebody there to pick up the wire in the end of their home, it pays for itself in a few years. What's really happened is that the big companies who are reaping their rewards in America have no interest in further extending their networks and are just making huge profits. This is not evil. It's just the way a private company does its business.
Yeah. Is consolidation of the cable services really making this more difficult?
Yeah, it's raising the barriers to entry. Comcast, if the merger with Time Warner Cable goes through, will be providing service to about half of American homes. Mm-hmm. And the economies of scale that gives Comcast are so gargantuan. They can get programming for much less money. Everything they buy costs less, that it makes it very difficult for someone to enter their footprint and compete. So that's why cities and municipal leadership is really the way to go at this point.
In some cities abroad, they require the companies who put the fiber in to sell real estate on that fiber to competitors.
Exactly. Yeah. Stockholm made that decision 20 years ago to put in a dark fiber network controlled by the city, which is then available for retail competition, making prices alarmingly low and lots of competition. That's happened here in the United States, too, in a tiny town called Ammon, Idaho. They've put in an unlit fiber network because they don't want to compete in the private market. They're a very conservative area. And they've got retail competition now on top of that wire. That whole concept is called unbundling. That's what telecom lawyers call it. Mm. And that's what's necessary for infrastructure of this kind.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to catch on now that we saw this, what's happened in this election? Other cities, are they listening? Are they watching?
They are listening. Mayors get jealous. And this is a truly bipartisan issue. You look at Colorado, all over the country, it doesn't matter whether you're left or right. The private market needs this infrastructure in order to operate. And mayors are fed up and their citizens are fed up. So this issue mm-hmm. is really catching fire right now.
Well, you heard what Brett said. He said, whatever, it works for me. You're not going to motivate a lot of people who think, okay, I'll just take what I get and I'm happy with it.
My grandmother called the electrical bill the light bill because she couldn't imagine that it would be used for anything else. And it takes experimentation and imagination and development of new uses to have this stuff take off. The World's Fair in the beginning of the 20th century was held by the electrical companies so that people's imagination about the uses of electricity would take off. Kansas City today is that kind of place for us with Google Fiber and lots of people developing new uses for it. Suddenly, we will realize what this gigabit connection can be used for. And for scientists, this is crucial. You can't ship around huge amounts of data and visualize it without a great big pipe.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught with a failure of the imagination, right, when you need that extra. And I know that you don't like to call it broadband service or bandwidth. What do you like to call it?
I'm perfectly fine with bandwidth, and I don't want to be too pedantic. But broadband doesn't really mean anything. It connotes a managed network. I'm really talking about high-speed internet access.
Right.
It's the internet that is the great breakthrough of our era, and it's that Americans need to get better access to.
That's the last word, Susan Crawford. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Ira. It was great to talk to you.
Susan Crawford is author of Captive Audience. She's also co-author of The Responsive City and a visiting professor at Harvard Law School. And if you want to respond to our Internet Speed Survey, go to our website at sciencefriday.com/internetspeed. You can enter your own speed. We'll map it out there. We have hundreds of people there already. You'll get an idea of what's going on in the country. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about apples. It's apple picking season. And believe me, there is so much to talk about when we talk about apples. I hope we have enough time. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.